It's time for Q&A in the Kitchen. It's the podcast and YouTube series where tattoo artists and one piercer talk about the more common questions or topics that most people that collect tattoos and piercings may have. Brought to you in part by Skin Kitchen Tattoo, the Axiom Body Piercing Studio. In the Axiom Body Piercing Studio. I screwed that up, didn't I?
A little bit.
It's all this distracting noise.
It's our background music.
I like that new intro you threw in there, Dave-O. That was pretty good.
Awesome.
And a piercer?
Trying it out. Let us know what you thought about the opening.
Okay. Well,
then I don't have to stream anything or ask about licensing because we usually.
Where's the weirdest place?
Yeah, that was original and all copies only in Skin Kitchen.
I don't remember. There used to be a YouTube channel where the guy would just hum like pop songs.
Did he get paid for it?
Yeah, you can't.
Well,
do
he
that.
Did montages. It was kind of funny the first two times.
Some people build a life on.
We need a montage.
So what we're going to talk about today is hobbies, jobs, lifestyles that can damage tattoos or piercings. But we're going to talk about panel first. On my right, far right, is Jimmy St. John, tattoo artist at Skin Kitchen Tattoo. Directly to my right is Jack Lowe, owner of the Skin Kitchen and also a tattoo artist. I'm Dave-O. I own and operate the Axiom Body Piercing Studio. I'm a professional piercer. And then over to my left is Brent Starr, tattoo artist at the Skin Kitchen.
Hi.
Yay.
So, yeah, I came up with this one. My idea behind it is, especially during the healing process, activities, jobs, et cetera, things that are just not going to be healthy for your tattoo or your piercing.
Yep. So if you don't like it, blame Dave-O.
Like for me, and it's a common question I get asked on comments.
I think it's
like,
a good one.
I do jiu-jitsu, or I do mixed martial arts, or I do powerlifting, or I ride a motorcycle, or I'm a diesel mechanic. Is this going to affect how this heals?
Right.
Well, that's good.
Absolutely. Your trade or your hobbies can definitely affect, you know, how your tattoo heals. I've got some clients that are mechanics, and they want their hands tattooed, and we do them. And usually you have to touch them up quite a bit because, you know, it's hard to heal them and get them to set in because they have so much dead skin and callus built up on their hands from burning them and beating them against stuff. The skin's a lot thicker. It's harder to get it into, you know, down into that sweet zone where it's going to stay. And they bang it off. They beat it off, you know. They wear it off.
Let's keep the finger on the buzzer.
They beat them against the engines and stuff and engine compartments is what I'm saying.
And now they're having sex with their engines.
Well, you know, whatever. But, you know, a lot of that stuff you have to take in consideration when you're healing your tattoos. Like, I wouldn't go out and get into, like, a sandblaster fight or a sword fight after I got a new tattoo. You might lose it.
No juggling fire either.
Chainsaws are bad for them.
You know, I had my first house I bought had this hole in the backyard when I bought the house. And then luckily enough, I met one of my clients who was a pool guy and he fixed it up for me. And anyway, long story short, he would work on my pool and I would tattoo him. Awesome setup. But we ended up doing his, you know, couple sleeves on him and he liked the color. So one of his forearms was all orange, yellows and reds. And it was, I don't know, some geometric kind of something or other. But anyway, it only took maybe a couple years of him doing his pool job. And now, obviously, mine wasn't the only pool he took care of. So he was outside cleaning pools, taking care of pools and stuff. It only took a couple summers before that tattoo was just smashed.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Plus the chemicals.
It's like having a chemical pill.
Yeah.
Three, four times a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, you looking back at it, you think, well, yeah, duh. You know, but it's one of those things that with all the things that come at you, that was just one of them that zinged by that you didn't catch.
Yeah.
And and we ended up redoing it and stuff, keeping that in mind, you know, to wear some sort of, you know, covering protective over it. Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of a choice you're going to have to make is having this tattoo worth me having to wear this sleeve now 5 days out of the week while I work and it's hot anyway, you know, maybe we'll keep it somewhere where it's easier to cover up.
Yeah. If you're a lifeguard and you're getting baked in the sun every day, like, you know, your tattoos aren't going to hold up as well.
No. Well, don't get it in the summer.
Right. Yeah. Definitely don't get it in the summertime because you can't get in the water.
Right. So if you do have one of those jobs, you know, that are kind of a timely thing or, even if it's, you know, like if it's roofing, roofers, oh my God, you guys put a freaking shirt on, man. Anything like above, like from here up on a roofer, It's just make it, yeah. Just tribal is your best friend.
It's like tattooing Jantana. Did anybody remember?
Oh, man.
Just living a Tanabed.
I've had clients that
cooked.
Said that they worship tanning beds. Like, yeah. they go regularly. It's like a recreational, like, thing. Like, mm-hmm. they just... They
oh, get, yeah, yeah.
And that's cool, whatever, but...
That's going to
UV light yeah. is a little hard on tattoo ink.
It yeah, a little side it's, note, the way they remove tattoos is laser removal, and those are UV
yeah.
lights.
Yeah. and then some.
And maybe they've gotten most of those off the market, but those tanning beds can cause skin cancer just
oh, sure.
as quickly as the real sun.
Yeah, yeah. 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 So, and what was I going to... Man, you... Threw
Sorry,
me off.
Three.
No, that's
The cancer word always kind of throws everything off.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, doesn't it?
Boy. Yeah. yeah. I don't even remember what I said.
But if it's a job where you know you get a 2-week break or something, you know, yeah. away from being a nurse and having to put your feet in shoes and run around for hours and hours, well, and, hours and hours and hours and God bless nurses, man.
Yes, thank you.
I can't believe that there are people that do that job for what they get back. It's incredible. But anyway, then time it that way. You know, come in as close to the beginning of that break as you can to the end, or so you have as much time as you can and heal it out, you know, because with the bandaging we use now really helps a lot of the, like, perpetual movement stuff that would right. normally affect a tattoo. That it pretty much, as much as I've experienced, it pretty much gets rid of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know? It really does.
So that helps a bunch, and... but it kind of adds too because it'll grab sweat.
Right.
So, you know, if you
they
have
a workout with it on.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
that's not good.
You know, it has its drawbacks, but you know, who works out anyway?
You can put that off for
a
couple
few
days.
People, actually.
I mean, this
but
is,
if you are,
yeah, well, this is Iowa.
If
so.
You are one of them people who has one of those jobs, like, you know, mechanic or lifeguard or something like that, when you come in for your consultation, tell your artist about it. And we'll try to figure out ways to help you, you know, work around some stuff or make you aware of, you know, some we might have to go into this again or, you know,
well,
the probabilities of what's going to happen.
The healing strategy might change,
right,
too.
Exactly.
Like, normally, you know, if you're normal every day, 9 to 5, you know, sitting at a desk guy, you know, we would tell you to do one thing. But if you're in an environment where, you know, your tattoo is going to need a little more help. Then, you know, we might tell you something else.
Yeah, if you come in to get tattooed and then, like, you come back in and half of it's gone, and I'm like, what the hell happened? You're like, oh, I forgot to mention, like, I'm a belt sander battler in the weekend. Like,
black
that would have been helpful to know beforehand, but, like, okay, now we can kind of try to fix it or rectify it. But
just
be open with your honest, your artist.
Open,
and let
with
them know. Open and honest with your artist.
Boom, nailed it.
So with piercings, it depends on location greatly, but a lot of it comes down to movement and constant, consistent movements. Now with tattooing, it's more during that initial week, right?
More or less.
Moving that area over and over again and stretching that skin and pushing.
Yeah, once it's healed,
typically,
like, your shirt won't really wear it off.
Week to 10 days.
So here's a suggestion. Maybe you're considering getting something done in a set place that you know has a lot of movement. Is take some Scotch tape. Tape it on there and then go do what you normally do, either your job or
tape
work. Tape it on that area. Like if you're getting an upper arm tattoo, like right here, and you work in a job where you do this all day.
Oh, it kind of help you pay attention on, to how much
to,
damage that
yeah,
piece
to basically give you an idea of whether or not it's going to be a big issue or not, because you're going to feel that and you're going to notice that it's not staying put.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea of how much you're moving that area. Right. Same thing with like the ditch that everybody hates, the mm-hmm. inner elbow.
Yeah.
That's
a tough one.
That's a tough one.
If you, if you work at any type of job or near physical, you know, and doing a repetitive motion, it's just the nature of that spot. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing you can do about it other than be a couch potato for 4 or 5 days. You know,
do you remember the client I had that I did both of her palms?
Oh,
and
yeah.
you have to stipple those, so it hurts anyway a lot. But, you know, you touch everything. You know what I mean? And she was like, we're going to do them both on the same day. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? Mm-hmm. Because you got to, like, drive here and home and, like, touch doorknobs and all that good stuff.
And wipe
and
your
she
butt.
Insisted on doing both. So we did both.
I didn't even think about that.
Dude, once we got her hands tattooed and bandaged, she, like, didn't make it out of the room and was like, oh, my God.
It was a realization.
I've touched, like, 6 things already. This is painful. So I'm like, I tried to tell you, dude. You touch everything with your hands.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, you know. Yeah, it's good to consider the time it's going to take to get a successful heal on your tattoo. I mean, especially nowadays when people are getting big, expensive tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I mean, it's different for everybody, but it's when I drop that kind of money, you know, I want the best results. So, you know, if you can plan it in your schedule a little to give your tattoo a little better chance, you know, like maybe wait till after vacation, you know, or, you know, wait for that spring break or that time off.
And think of it as a recovery time, just like if you went in for a surgery or, you know, even minor like cosmetic things, they generally suggest you take a day or two off for it to settle, to kind of eliminate
in
you
a perfect
messing
world,
up what you've done.
Well, you know, ideal.
This tattoo Jimmy just gave me a couple days ago. We timed that, you know, pretty well, you know, a couple days off, you know.
Yeah, you squeezed as much of your...
Yeah, as much time. We're going to be going on vacation here in a couple of weeks, and you're going to be in Florida, so, I mean, it's going
to
be...
You're going to want to get in a pool.
Yeah, I wanted to heal all the way before then, so, I mean, it was
threading the time needle.
Yeah, it was threading it.
And we did it on Friday night, for our Friday night.
Our Friday.
So, you know, you have 2 days to heal, plus the night, you know, we were off.
Because I work at a job that I'm going to be gloved up fairly often, and, the sweat on that is just not good dynamic. And the wear and tear is, you know, so we timed
gave
it about as good as we could.
Yeah, we
really
gave ourselves the best chance we could possibly do.
Yeah.
That's good use of the time. And with the bandaging you have now, that would really help. When I got my hands done, I got them both done, one right after the other by the same guy at a convention. And I was younger then, but you know, had to put my gloves back, you know, on Monday and go to work. And it was not the best thing to do.
No.
But then again, you know, I knew that I was taking that risk and, you know, I was going to accept the outcome because that's the choice I made. But I guess you have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
You
know? I did something similar. I got my right hand tattooed right after my apprenticeship and I was booked all weekend at this convention. And I went down, we get there Thursday to set up, you know, for Friday, Saturday and Sunday to tattoo. And I run into my buddy, and I'm so excited. You know, I finished my apprenticeship. I'm going to tattoo all weekend. He's like, well, we got to do something for your, you know, your graduation. I was like, let's tattoo my hand. So we did all night Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, putting gloves on and off, trying to tattoo. I don't know how many times it slipped out and, like, popped my hand. I was just like.
Oh, yeah. And that was the days of latex, not nitrile. So it really
burned, boy.
Because, like, one of the first things you're going to realize once you get a new piercing or a new tattoo is you don't realize how much contact that area has and how much movement that area has.
Yep.
You know, and I always I call it the training phase. And that's that period of time where your body constantly sends you out signals, don't mess with this. Don't mess with this. Don't mess with this.
Quit touching me here.
And your job may go against that. Yeah. And you need to figure that out ahead of time in your hobbies. Now, you guys have brought up sweat underneath the Saniderm.
Does
that cause an issue?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. if you let it ride for too long, it's basically like when people over lotion their tattoo before the days of the Saniderm.
So it makes it gooey.
Yeah. It doesn't give, you've lost the effect of that, that
healing
bandage, and now all it's doing is super soaking that area. It's like you're in a swimming pool.
Like soaking in the hot tub.
You've eliminated
exactly that
plasma layer that's there creating
it's
the
just,
healing layer.
It's about like picking a scab.
And
just leaving it open and wet and yucky, and it's not good.
So if you leave that, it can have bad effects on it. But, you know, ideally is if that happens, you'd take it off, you'd clean the tattoo up, dry it, and then apply a new piece. But that's not, not everybody can do that, you know.
Well, question I would have is that it shouldn't make any difference. Because the most common thing I get with sweat is whether or not it's going to cause an infection.
I haven't heard that.
It would, because I don't think if it's sealed and it's airtight, then there's no real, and waterproof.
It's kind of in this stasis of nothing,
so
you know, just soaking.
Your sweat and everything else is part of your colony.
Right, but like keeping all the bad stuff out and keeping the good protective layer in, when you sweat and that seeps into it, it kind of contaminates that layer, and now you're just holding it against it. It's not so much infection danger, but it's just irritant.
It's not allowing the process to go along as it needs to. It's not allowing the body to start stitching that hole closed. It's just sitting there. And so as it sloshes around in this pool of sweat and slew, you know, under there, it kind of washes it out.
Evidently, blood plasma doesn't do very well with salt and sweat you know,
doesn't work the same.
Saylan and Plasma are not friends.
Nope. So, you know, that's a good thing to ask when, you know, of the artist when they're putting it on, you know. So if you work out, you know, and you sweat a lot, a little bit will reconstitute in 24 hours or less. But if you are uncomfortable or you think it's too much, if you're not sure, then change it.
Right.
And I'll give, so, you know, certain piece. Clients mm-hmm. an extra chunk.
So that takes an additional level of planning from the standpoint.
Yeah.
You need to talk to your artist, say, I work out
five
times a week, which is normal.
There
are 3 to 5 is what they suggest, but a lot of people, it's 7 or 8.
10, yeah, 12. But people have gotten weird.
The Saniderm, we usually recommend 3 to 4 days on it. So, like, there's going to be a 3 to 4 day span that we prefer you not hit the gym so hard and work out, kind of, like, relax, lay back, give your body time to heal,
or
let it do its thing.
Have a fan close by,
you know.
Yeah, or, cool. You know, if you're just one of those people that profusely sweats, ask for additional pieces so
absolutely.
That you can change it.
Yeah, and we'll send you home with
and make
one.
Sure they explain, you know.
How to do it.
How to do it.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, I mean, it's not really that complicated. You just take it off, peel it off in the shower, clean the area with your fingers.
Needs to be dry.
Pat it dry. Yeah,
pat it dry with a clean, I would suggest, paper towel.
Mm-hmm. Clean, dry paper towel.
Yep, no fuzzies.
And then reapply it.
Yep.
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 So, yeah, it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple stuff. A lot of clients we have that do work outside and stuff, that they'll come in like a day later or two later, like, I got sweaty or I fell and like I hooked to my shirt and when I yanked my shirt off, I yanked half of it off and they'll come in and we'll fix them up. We'll clean them up and reapply it, you know. But if you live like an hour away or something, you can't get back here, just tell me so I can give you an extra sheet just in case you need it.
Yeah, that's kind of my two criteria. It's like, well, you don't live close and you're kind of 50-50 whether, you know, you're going to, you know, need another one. Then I'll, you know, get...
Yeah, if you're crawling around under houses and I tattooed your back shoulder blade, like, chances are you're going to pull it up, catch your shirt, pull it off. Like, you know, I mean, you might need another piece.
Or, so. And remember, just tip for you guys and anybody else out there who puts on Saniderm, if they are going to be in that kind of environment, give yourself an extra border of it. Mm. Be very liberal with it.
Yeah.
And so if it does peel up a bit, it don't matter.
It's not the important part.
And then tell them, you know, if it does start peeling up, just trim it as close as you can without chopping your leg off or your arm off. And that'll slow it down. But anyway, that's a tip
for
the day.
That's the helpful hint from Jack Lowe.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So let's talk about, with piercings, movement is always a big factor, especially if there's any part of the body where there's a lot of movement.
Yeah, I'll bet.
For example, navel piercings. The reason navel piercings always had a bad reputation because we did so many of them, but the main reason is because when you bend over, you're changing the shape of the area. Mm-hmm. When you stand back up, you're changing the shape of the area. When you sit down, you're changing the shape of the area. You have a tendency, most people, until they're trained, as I was talking about earlier, to set things against that piercing. Facial piercing,
catch it.
Most of the ones that I don't suggest getting done, like surface-to-surface piercings, et cetera, the reason why they have a bad heal is because there's so much movement. With upper ear cartilage piercings, it's the amount of contact, but it's also if you do like industrials where you're combining multiple piercings, it's because there isn't any movement that can cause issues.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. The other thing is, and it's the same thing with tattooing, is isolating that area and giving it time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the hardest part of the whole thing. You know, like, for example, don't sleep on it. And in some cases, especially with tattoos where it wraps around the body, that may not be an option.
Mm-mm.
Piercing, it's a freaking option from 90% of the time.
Yeah, to an extent.
And it's more relearning habits about it. But yeah, there's how does sleeping affect, or like getting your butt tattooed? How is that going to affect your life over the next month if you work in an office?
Well, you're going to get fired within a week.
For the first,
you know, you're going to show it in the wrong time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So but, I mean, does pressure affect pierce or tattoos as much as
not as much? Like if you get a tattoo on your butt and you get the Saniderm on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that protective layer. It's going to help it heal. Now it's going to be a little uncomfortable for a few days.
Be you tender know, on that cheek.
Because you got a tender cheek now. But you know, other than that, it really doesn't affect it. You know what I mean? Like if you can get first that first 7 to 10 days, you're golden. It's a tattoo. It's under your skin. It's pretty resilient.
But days before, that's a tough
one. It's going to be a little
tough to heal.
A little rough.
It's not like you can get a donut or anything like that.
So. Yeah,
man, you're using it. You're sitting on it.
Yeah. And you know, back in the day, like the little, like a, I don't know, bikini area, bikini line kind of stuff. man, think about how often that spot bends and bends. Oh, yeah. It's really almost worse than a ditch.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about, because if you wear pants or jeans, you know, that crinkles all up and. Yeah. Man, it's
because on top of that, you have those jeans, and I think that was when the low riders are really in vogue. So it's going to be rubbing that area.
It's just right in that because they want it to kind of pop out, but not. Well, that means that's right on the edge of where your pants ride.
Because I want to leave a little mystery.
So yeah, a little teaser sticking out there. So
well, when your pants rub it halfway off, you're going to be a mystery of what it used to be.
Yeah, when you leave the shop after your tattoo, it's not done. Think of it like that. It's not done cooking, you know? Yeah. The pie is made, but you can't eat it right now. You can still fuck it up, basically. Yeah, like, you can't
look at it.
You can't take it out and.
Yeah.
Well, it's like painting. You know, if you can't took your car in to have it painted custom.
Yeah. You're not going to
tells you. The guy tells you, oh, it's going to take 4 days or a week for this to cure properly. If you go, well, screw you, I'm going to go drive my car.
You go to the car wash.
It's going to look like complete crap after a few days.
Yeah.
It's going to have bugs in the paint. Yeah. It's going to be gross.
Yeah.
If you drive straight to the car wash, you're losing that paint job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's coming off.
Yes.
There's still responsibility, you know, that needs to be taken to get, you know, the best results.
Yeah. The finalization of it is, you know, kind of up to you. That's it's in your neighborhood.
So if you're a scuba diver 6 months out of the year, don't do it. That six months.
No. Yeah, because on top of that, you're going to have to worry about getting the suit on and off and how much trauma that's going to cause the area. It's the same thing with piercing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and nutrition, I wanted to mention too. Nutrition plays a big part of it. You know, I get people coming back and they're shocked and amazed and think I did something magical because their tattoo healed in 3 to 4 days, just done. You know, and they can't believe it. And I'm like, most of that's you, bro.
Yeah.
You're a healthy that's how healthy people heal.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a superficial wound.
Yep.
Unless you're overworking the area, which, you know, that can lengthen it. But if you apply a tattoo like you're supposed to and you're a good, healthy person, there's no reason that you can't be really good to go in 4 or 5 days and you're really, you know, walking down the road. So
but if you live on candy bars and soda, it might not heal as fast. You know?
Yeah. And add that on top of a rough spot on your body and then the job
affects it,
you know? So if you can at least minimize a couple of them, you're going to have a better outcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's going to be a huge difference between doing a huge piece opposed to doing a small piece. As far as, like, when we talk about piercings, we usually say not to do more than 3 or 4 at a time, mainly because you get to this point of a death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where your body doesn't have enough.
Same thing.
Enough.
Well, generally, if you do a really large piece like that, you'll notice that some areas of it, sometimes it won't heal as evenly.
Yeah.
Because your body can't do but so much. It's got so many areas it's trying to attend to. Like, you spread the battlefield way out, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a wound. So the bigger the hole, the more dirt it takes to fill it. So the bigger the wound, the more of your body's resources it takes to make it good again. And so it's going to prolong it. It's going to give you that. Then since it's prolonged, it's going to take there's a wider opportunity for it to get damaged.
Right.
So yeah, it is something to think about. You know, that the bigger wounds you have, the more care and longer care it's going to take afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah. Pumping the good food.
And a lot of people that, like, with the big black craze, like blacking your arm out or getting these big heavy saturated pieces. They have to understand that, like, if I work on you for 4 or 5 hours and I black this square out, I'm going to tell you before you leave, like, I would like for you to come in for an hour again after this, once it's healed, so I can kind of run back over to make sure it's all uniform. Because out of that square, you're going to have lights and dark spots because of how your body heals. It's not going to heal it all evenly.
No,
it just never does that. It's just not one of the things that our human body does.
You get holidays.
So, it's not. It doesn't mean your tattoo artist isn't a good artist or he didn't do a good job. It's just between your body's healing and you're trying to get this solid black as it can be. Well, you have to have that little touch up, like painting a wall.
And that doesn't mean that one artist would look at something that they considered fine and think it's fine.
Right.
And another artist would go, well, I would prefer to go back in because I see, you know, areas that could improve. Right. And doesn't mean either one of them is wrong.
Right.
It all comes down to that artist and the way they want to represent their art on you. And
I've had a ton of customers come in, like when I want to do, like, my touch-up, I call it, my my finishing touches, my polishing, yeah. my little highlights here and there that I don't think stuck as well
tighten
as it could
up.
Have.
You tighten it up.
And they'll come in and then the people are like, so many, I get so many compliments on this dude. It's so amazing. Like, I don't even know what you want to do to it now. Uh-huh. And like nine times out of 10, and in all honesty from the tattoo artist, that it really isn't for you. It's for me.
Right.
It's for my peace of mind.
It really is.
It is. I'm critiquing my own.
Because we're our own worst critics.
Yeah. And it's the little stuff that I see that nobody else would ever notice. Mm-hmm. But I see it and it bugs the crap out of me. And I just want to make sure it's taken care of and done.
You know,
because it's right.
I normally don't even charge for that time.
I don't either.
Yeah. You know,
I never do.
And see, the frustrating thing from the piercing side of that is often it's like, man, that would look really great with this piece. But no, they're too cheap to buy this piece.
Yeah, that.
And it's like there have been a few times like, well, I'll tell you what. I'll knock $5 off because you're a good customer.
Yeah,
so that I can put the piece in there that's going to look like 15 times
better.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Right. Pride
and
thing to do.
Love for what you do.
Yeah, you'd rather eat the money.
And then but then at the same time, I have people that are like,
yeah, you lose a couple bucks, but like it's worth it because now totally. When people see that piece, they're seeing it to the potential it should be seen at.
Well, and
you're doing it justice.
A lot of times it's just they don't have the imagination.
Well, yeah, they don't know.
Like. The reason you're doing it is because that made you feel good.
Yeah.
Yes.
You knew you could do better. You knew it could look better, so you made it look better.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I never charged for that because like I want it to look the best it possibly can look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little selfish on my part, but that's because I want to feel good about it. I want to be proud of it.
Well, you know? it's.
But I want you to have an amazing piece.
But that's why your work looks like it does, and that's why that person is there. Mm-hmm. So if they don't agree with that part, then you don't like my artwork.
Right.
You know, because that's part of why my artwork looks like it does when you see it. It's because I do this part.
Yeah.
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 And I've never had a customer deny me that last little bit.
No.
They've always been gracious enough to
do that. Yeah, but I've had people that's like, no, I like this.
Well, I mean, you know, that's
people
do that.
That's the biggest difference between the two. Anyway, let's try to get back on topic a little bit. Clothing that you guys would suggest staying away from?
Don't wear like a sandpaper shirt and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I would suggest sticking with natural fibers.
Not high starch.
Avoid
skirts. Skirts and with the little as material as possible.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you get worked on.
Prevent, you know, any kind of... Really, if you don't have to legally wear an item of clothing, don't wear it.
Yeah, leave it open.
Just go for it, baby.
If you can get around...
If you get a foot tattoo and you wear boots for a living... Like, try to get that tattoo in a time period where you're off work or don't have to wear boots, because
good
a flip-flop is way better than, like, a boot.
Shoes.
Yeah. Better than a big stuffy boot with a sock and laces and all that tied to it. You
and
know
I would
mean?
Say the same thing is if you're getting something done to your ankle and you normally wear...
don't wear an ankle bracelet, you know.
Tights or nylon.
Don't
or
wear combat
like
boots.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, if you work professionally and you normally wear, like, hose, don't wear them.
No. Yeah, if you can go without them... Please do
that. You imagine a foot tattoo trying to heal in that?
Yo, man, especially back in the day.
Back in the day was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that, excuse me, Sanoderm is.
It's a godsend. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's really advanced it.
I would say the same thing about a navel piercing. If you have a navel piercing and the tops of those pantyhose come up above that or tops.
Roll them down.
Roll them down or cut a hole out. your body.
People think she's trying to rob the place.
Yeah, piercings. Yeah. Definitely need a little bit of flow of oxygen, but it also needs to be able to discharge properly. Plus, you're adding all that pressure against
it. Yeah, you don't want the chance of something to hang to it and pull it. Like,
so,
you know.
Are you saying pimps up, hose down?
I don't know.
I think that's what I'm hearing.
Is that what that means?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yep. I think that's the rule.
That's
what that means.
I'll have to call Snoop.
Has to do with hose?
I think we found the root to it. Yeah.
We're going
to
call the dog father on it. But.
I don't know. The dog father.
I never entered my need-to-know part of my life.
I mean, probably didn't see yourself 30 years from now sitting around with the guys like us either, but here you are.
Here you are.
So what I generally would suggest is coarse materials. Stay away from those, especially if it's in areas that are going to have contact. I think sleeves is the most.
Yeah, if you can avoid covering, avoid covering it up, don't cover it.
I thought
you
were talking about a coven.
No, covering up the area you got worked on, David.
And at the same time, keep it out of the sun.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the
It's healed, sunblock or protective clothing or, you know, whatever you prefer.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that. And that's what I forgot earlier. But there's only two enemies of your tattoo is the UV rays and your own body. It's true. Your own body doesn't want it there. And throughout your life, it runs up. It grabs a tiny little bit and it runs off with it. And then you poop it out.
Yeah.
So that's why tattoos age. because they're alive. They're in a living organism, and that's you, baby. Yeah. So, like I said, the more you can minimize at least certain things, yeah, the better you're going to have the outcome. So the more you can minimize sun time and and being out in the sun, and then when you are, put something on it, it's going to look better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to help.
Yeah, just a little spray sunscreen is what I tell people.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
You know, keep that in your glove
we
box.
We coat each other
something
when we ride our motorcycles.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it in my saddlebags and just lather up with it. Yeah. You
well,
know?
I mean, they have the nice stuff that you can just spray on.
That's what we're just talking about.
You know, you had to butt.
We look like we dove into a vat of Vaseline when we go into the store because we're so shiny from all the sunblock we've sprayed all over.
And we're oiled up and we have our chaps on. And
it's faster.
Kind of like this steamy smoke that wafts by the swinging doors. As we go in,
basically,
and
you're describing
open the
you know,
door to
the
cool
band
drink
behind us as we
comes
along
out and hits our hairy, oily chests, and it rolls over our shoulders as we push the cold bottle up against our cheek. And
have you ever seen Joe Dirt when he's working Tilt-A-Whirl
marketing?
See, the first thing that comes to my mind is Chippendale dancers. That's what you just described.
Kind of like that.
Yeah,
I was thinking Joe Dirt at the fair,
like
running
that.
The fair,
but you know, better looking like us. Yeah. Yeah.
Now let's talk about, excuse me, sports, exercise. Mm. We talked a little bit about exercise, but there are certain, you know, for example, yoga, martial arts.
Yeah.
Also, and then we get into like
thanks
protective gear.
Yeah, like don't go wrestling. If you have a wrestling match, wait till after the wrestling match is over
God,
to get
they
tattooed
used to be a thing
and stuff.
Every year.
Yeah, the wrestlers are the worst.
They just grope all over.
It's like if you'd ask them flat out, hey, so you're done? Oh, yeah, dude, I got disqualified.
Yeah, I'm done. Until tomorrow.
And then they'd call you like 2 weeks later and go, I don't know why this is all messed up.
Yeah.
I only wrestled a couple times, coach.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, only skip the season.
Five, only four or five animals licked it. I don't know what happened.
But, I mean, a really common one I get is with piercings in martial arts. And what I always tell people is basically – just kind of picture in your mind, because most people that do sports or any type of activity do this kind of pre-build up. I don't know how else I'll put it. Where you,
pre-season, bro.
Well, where you mentally picture what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's a teaching tool that they teach in pretty much every sport.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot there.
Visualize the win.
And if you start to visualize how much contact that particular part of your anatomy has with the mat or with your sparring partner
or your clothing, because
you're
clothing
or, you know, your gi. Is it gi? Is that what it's called?
Your gi.
So if you kind of visualize what that activity is doing or what have you, that gives you an idea of whether or not that piercing is going to be a good idea or that tattoo is going to be a good idea or something that you're going to need to take a break
from. You want to try to schedule your stuff whenever you have a break coming up or you're away from whatever the activity is you do a lot of, because, you know, the more chance you take to relax and give your stuff time to heal, the less opportunity you're given to snag it, pull it, get it,
pinch
infected,
it, swirl
pinch
it,
it, pull
pass
it, somebody else hit it.
Bop
you know,
it.
Know what I mean? And it gives your body time to heal also by taking that break.
And the other thing I always tell people is if there's an alternative way of you exercising, like instead of focusing on this part of your body for that time period, if there's other things you can do.
We should give them an artist note.
Focus on your finger exercises and work on
gets
control.
Them out of PE,
yeah.
You know, for a couple weeks.
I've had clients.
My tattoo
ask
artist
for that.
Said, I can't
That's
play
perfect.
Dodgeball today.
Yeah. But I mean, you think about it, it's like if you're like, I don't know, taekwondo, if instead of doing sparring, you're just doing whatever those
bag work, maybe, or
whatever exercises,
just
or whatever.
Working with the bag,
or that thing where they balance on the you know, work on your balance.
And the best way to go about that is talk to your instructor or whatever the title they have and go, hey,
sensei, I believe.
This area of my body is going to be healing this, and they might like give you a bad time about it, but who knows.
Or they probably have a tattoo and they understand.
You know me well enough to know where I need to focus.
Wait till tournament season is over.
Yeah. And they might give a suggestion to a new way of you doing what you do that you need to work on, or at least that you can perfect, that's going to add a whole new thing to your arsenal. So
after you get tattooed up here, you just need to focus on you a little bit. Have some new time, you know.
You know, yeah,
expand your mind, read a book, sit around,
look inside.
Watch TV, you know.
Take some time to do some self-care.
There you go.
Back in my day, we called it taking care of yourself, and it wasn't a big deal. It was just kind of what you did, but now you're a hero.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm done. So, but
you know.
No, it was like,
you just time to inner reflect, you know.
I don't think I've ever had I don't think I, back then, I don't even remember anybody ever telling me I needed to take time.
They were afraid you would go jerk off if you did that.
No, it was
stay out of the bathroom, Damo. Damn it,
work. You're not
why
working.
We had a lotion.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, what else are you gonna do?
You know. The other thing is what else are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It distracted me.
See, sorry. Damn pregnant socks.
Jeez. The sock is yours.
Yeah. I totally destroyed you.
These have to be washed separately.
Wow. Oh, yeah, they're dangerous.
I knocked him off the. That's Amtrak. Like, yep.
Talk about
the dirt flying up and the you guys, cars just
like
crumbling.
The fugitive.
Have you guys ever had somebody who got a piercing or a tattoo in you guys' cases that was yoga, that did a lot of yoga?
Yeah.
I was wondering if they're. Because I had somebody ask me.
Just like working out, I recommend you try to take a little break, you know. A few days, at least 4 or 5, to give you at least the Sanoderm time to come off, and then you're kind of at the flaky point, so it's a little more resilient.
If you want to be super careful, though, if there's any type of flake or scab or anything, you're not done.
Mm-mm.
Once it's smooth, it might be kind of have that shine on it. There might be right around the very edge, might have that tiny little thing. But if the tattoo itself doesn't have any little raised little scabs, then you're then sun and you are the only thing that's going to mess it up.
Exactly.
You know, that's you're past that point. And it sometimes, like I said, people swear in 3-4 days, there's nothing and it was fine. And then other people, it can take upwards of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird spot. They got a tough job. Their skin sucks. Whatever
not
it is, you know,
part of, that part of their anatomy.
Not only did they have a lot of things, they had a lot of the worst things, you know, so you can only minimize so much. You're still going to have a longer heal.
When the planets align, the planets align. There's no
around
that.
Safety equipment, I think it probably affects piercing more, but I think some of those straps, if they were over a tattoo during that first week,
it's not going to be good.
Is going to be a bad idea.
It's that seesaw, that sawing motion that you're going to have.
I mean, I'm guessing that if somebody was getting the back of their head done, you don't want that inside a helmet on a motorcycle for 6 months.
Probably not.
Or not 6 months, but for like 6 hours.
For the first few.
I would say it's the same if it's anything that comes in contact with it. So pretty much the hairline.
Yeah. Or like when people get, ladies get like a something in the shoulder blade or whatever, you know, and then you got the bra strap dynamic.
Yeah,
that was something I was going to bring up.
That kind of rubbing is usually really, really bad for.
Yeah, if you can go without that up there.
Sports bras help sometimes. They have kind of the shoulder blades can cut out, or they have the strapless, or they can run them in an X, and then I think there's one that's got like duct tape or something.
There's the ones that don't have any.
There are so many ways to hold your boobs.
That one's
right.
Yeah, we as guys, there's only like one thing in our body that people feel like we should hold under control.
Yeah.
And there's really only a
don't tattoo that area and then go out and play baseball with a cup on. It's gonna suck.
Yeah, it's gonna suck. The thing is, like with nipple piercings, with that, we want to limit the movement. So we generally suggest sports bras, men's A shirts is a good option too. That might be a good option for like a, cause then you could just cut out that section, you know, tank tops.
That one doesn't support you really. That just keeps your nipples from popping, and they want their nipples popping these days. They're crazy.
Know. Well, I think
the nipple popping.
Dirty old band.
Usually, they can either get by with a sports bra or a strapless kind of. They got like these tube top things.
Tube top's another one that I generally suggest. But I always tell clients, play with it. Find out what works best for you. Because it's going to be different from everybody.
What are we playing with?
One person and one person. What's going to keep them stationary? Keep them from flying all over the place. Because you've had your nipples pierced. We were talking about this
earlier. Mine are still pierced,
They turn into
they hang on everything.
They're like this. Yeah, you don't realize how much you touch.
Yeah, every time you hug somebody or every time you move your arms and your shirt shifts across them, like,
that's why I took them off. They're like little new feelers that you have that you never knew existed.
Let's put curve feelers on our nipples.
Now, if you add, you know, a few inches to that, it's increased even more. And then sway. And you can imagine what it feels like.
Just leaning around like a door frame to like say something to somebody, and you hang one on the edge of that door frame. Like,
I do that even today, occasionally.
That sucks.
While they're healing, could you use like tape or a bandage to like keep it from getting hung?
No, it's not even really that. It's just the general
movement
kind of, like,
of the skin.
It's kind of like vibration.
Okay.
I think to a degree. I don't know how to describe it, but you feel that movement.
Yeah.
Like if you went out and you went for a jog, or if you ever like jumped off something, you can feel it in your teeth.
Yeah.
Because you hit.
Yeah.
Kind of like that vibration or
it's just
general,
the skin moving. Yeah.
Because it does.
And it's damaged that it reminds you every little shift in the ground.
Yeah. Yep.
Got it.
Yep. For the first little bit, it's very uncomfortable.
I bet.
Now, with safety gear for like piercings, because a lot of them are done in the ear, I don't really advise doing them in the summertime if you motorcycle, motocross, skateboard, any of that stuff. Unless you can wear one of those half helmets and feel safe. And even those, some of those are going to come in contact with the period.
Yeah, I'd still say even when it's in. Yeah.
Be careful with that because it comes, the loops on the bands come down under your ears and around your ears.
So I generally suggest people is try that stuff on and just kind of mark where that piercing is going to be and then look in the mirror or have somebody help you. Other than that, you know, safety gear of any type, if it's a direct contact with the piercing can catch on it. Or it's going to be rubbing against it, or it adds a lot of pressure against it, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. And it's like pulling the pin on a grenade.
Nine times out of ten, it's going to hook up the jewelry, and it's going to tear it.
So how many of you have had jewelry ripped out of you? Tell us your story. That may be interesting. And not to scare anyone, but again, just to kind of give you, look forward a little bit and think about how you can maybe the areas in your life you can adjust to minimize, things
precautions
to get the best healing. But there's always somebody you run into that has a story that you just.
And the reason why it's a higher risk during usually the healing process opposed to after it's healed is because usually the jewelry is longer to allow for inflammation.
Yeah.
So it's sticking out more and it's more likely
it's more apt to come.
Yeah.
Well, you had to fix up a piece of my wrist that I damaged when I wrecked that bicycle in Virginia. I was jumping a bicycle on ramps in front of the old tattoo shop I was at in Virginia because I was bored.
I kind of remember.
And we built a really shoddy ramp. Like we stacked some bricks up, laid a piece of board over it.
You went over some sweet jumps?
Yeah. And we had been jumping our bicycles all day, our BMXs over it, and just carrying on being stupid and skateboarding. And it was towards the end of the day, and like we had really wore it out. And I went and made a jump, and it went off sideways. The ramp kind of collapses. I went off of it, and I was already in the air. So when I landed, I was sideways, and I kind of, slid on the pavement. And I took a little, it made a light spot because I actually, bled some black in that spot because I went down deep enough. Yeah, I went down deep enough to hit the tattoo area. And it took a little spot out for a minute. Like, it was not fun.
My lizard has a chunk out of it from when Paul Gray broke his guitar. this is a true story. Splinter flew up, nailed it right in the center.
Funny.
I'll never forget that. It was like the
last
Have Not show. It's like everybody broke their shit, threw shit.
Very angry young
there
man.
There was like the youngest really kid, mad. The youngest kid we had, John. He's like sitting there with his guitar, and I guess nobody told him we were going to do this.
He's like, I like this guitar, man.
And he's just like,
I ain't
just
doing
like
that.
Slowly, I wasn't paying attention, but people said he just slowly kind of walked off the stage.
I'm going to disappear into the back here.
It's my favorite guitar.
So like if you do something where you have a lot of injuries and a lot of contact with pavement, like skateboarding, BMX, I guess rollerblading.
We're going to have to touch your tattoos up probably.
You probably don't want to get like something super detailed on areas of your body.
That's a good point.
We're going to get hit a lot.
Yeah, you don't want the portrait of your mom on your forearm because like if you eat when you're skateboarding and you grind half her face off, it's going to suck.
And on the
that's why so many extreme sports people have like giant neo-tribal tattoos.
Yeah.
And kind of down the road on that, if you've lived a life of whatever that you or forearms or shins or something like that is taking a lot of abuse, those aren't the best areas to get highly detailed, delicate type of things done on. Yeah. You would want to stick with more bold, contrasty designs because that skin is just going to have so much more texture to it.
Yep.
And, the
like
more crinkly and irregular the whatever you're painting on is, it's going to...
It's like drawn on a piece of paper. It was crumpled up, thrown away, and unraveled.
You're talking about refilling like large pieces, like large... That's part of it, isn't it? Because if there's scarring it never really heals the same.
Well, some kind of there's
it'll
different
heal
types of scars.
Type of scar
it'll make
it
it'll make
You've
it feel different and stuff. We have a whole episode on that one.
Yeah,
But you just have you generally have to take stuff like that into consideration. You have to think a little bit. You have to be mindful of what you do, what you plan to do, when you plan on doing it, and try to schedule according.
Yeah, yeah, and like basically. Portraits on hands. I mean, even on, you know, portraits on forearms, I always talk to the person and, you know, had the talk, yeah. You know, the talk. Yeah. And then, you know, I've had several instances where they'll want them on their hands. I'm like, oh, my God. So I've gotten lucky, I guess, yeah. You know, and hopefully lucky in that their skin held up well and it healed well, but that they've been taking care of it too and not just...
But those areas of the body take a beating, man.
They do.
They really do.
Man, yeah. you've got to like that tattoo enough yeah. for the rest of your life yeah. to, you know, take care of it. Because if you yeah. don't, then you just have a junkie tattoo on your hand.
Yeah,
because
you beat them up a lot. You wash your hands all the time. You're always sticking them into stuff and burning them and whacking them and nicking them. And like, I mean, you know, it's a real area.
So you know how responsible you are. You know how much you're going to take care of it if you're honest with yourself.
Yes.
And maybe it's worth moving it to somewhere else if it's... You know, that important, and you want it to look good, and you know, man, I'm going to go out on a, you know, a fishing boat yeah. for 6 months, and I don't know where I'm going to be after. Then maybe get it somewhere a little more
all my
stable.
Really precious detailed tattoos, I get them in places where I can't even get to them. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Keep them out of my reach because I'm going to mess them up. Like, you know, don't let me touch them.
Right.
They're outside the cone that's around
yeah,
your head.
They're way outside of my cone. Area. Like, I can't get to them.
Another thing would be is if you, like, I don't know how to stress this enough, and maybe we'll finish on this one. For example, if you're a boxer, getting a eyebrow piercing not and a set idea. Of, you know, a couple lip piercings and everything else, probably it's not a good idea.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. If you do something where you hit parts of your body over and over again.
Don't do that.
I want to get my cauliflower pierced.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You want to drain it?
Just, no.
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah, it's not going to work well. Yeah.
Have you had that happen?
I have had people come in that their ears are totally keloided. One client, and I felt kind of bad about it because he wanted to get a bunch of stuff done. And I'm like, so what do you do for a hobby? And he's like, well, I do, you know, MMA. You know,
MMA.
And I'm like, okay, so are you retired now? Mm. Well, no, and I'm still doing it. I go, have you talked to a dermatologist about your ears yet? No, they said they couldn't do anything. And I'm like, well, I don't think it's a good idea to pierce that.
Yeah.
No. Because it's just... It's all scar
unstable.
Tissue.
It's just yeah.
and it's
irregular tissue. It's yeah. kind of unpredictable.
It is.
You know, that's like with scars. You know, can you tattoo over scars? There's
we generally try
a million different types of scars in a way. You know, and they're on a million different types of skin that got mm-hmm. caused by a million different ways. You know, so some are more successful than others.
Yeah,
but. I can't tell you really how successful. I can only guess at what I've seen through what I've done because they're all different, you know.
Which gives you two options. You can either try to lower their expectations as much as fucking possible.
Strategy.
Or you're going to just flat out refuse to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and people like, both. I get the impression you're trying to talk me out of this is an extremely bad idea. And it's like, well,
if an artist is doing that, then don't have them do it. Yeah. Don't talk them into it. You
don't
want
to do that.
Whether they're genuine or not with the reason why they don't want to.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
try to talk them into doing.
Right.
Something.
So, yeah. And depending on what you want, you know, if you want this beautiful portrait of your mother getting married with this beautiful veil on and you have a burn scar from when you were three and it looks like Freddy Krueger and you want to cover that scar.
Not with that.
It's not good. You know,
work.
It's not that that's not a beautiful picture of your mother. It's that
it's not going to look well on that canvas.
No. Yeah. With what I've learned in my career, that's not going to come out the way you want it to.
Nope.
And it's best to go. Nope.
Yeah, and let's move it somewhere else.
How about that other leg that isn't burnt?
Yeah, let's right. do it on the really glass instead of the stucco.
Yeah. It'll look way better.
Yeah.
Instead of the concrete up front.
I think we wrapped that one up pretty
good. Yeah, I think we've gone through, and there's probably some stuff we missed. If there is, leave a comment.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
What do you do?
What do you guys want to hear us talk about?
Yeah. Or do you wrangle horses on the weekends?
God, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, we didn't cover that.
Wings. We
oh
didn't even
God.
Get into backpacking.
Nope.
Yeah,
so
that's another topic. For
if
later.
You want to know, then just
like, can you imagine
us.
Somebody going on a backpacking trip after getting their foot tattooed?
Can you imagine
sure,
getting,
somebody's done yeah, it.
Can you imagine getting your nipples pierced and then going jumping out of an airplane with a parachute attached to you?
Yeah.
What if you pulled the wrong ring?
Right.
Yeah.
That is not the ripcord. Put it back.
Do not make it.
I can go one step, and this actually happened. got her nipples pierced, was from out of town on a trip.
Was a midget and did midget
bowling. Didn't talk to me about it. So they're on the back of her boyfriend's motorcycle.
Oh, no.
So not only did she get her both her nipples pierced, then put a backpack over that, then sat on the back of a motorcycle for 2.5 hours.
Oh, man.
And somebody. Then couldn't figure out why they would never heal.
Ouch.
Because they were going back to Denver, if I'm
I thought right. You were
going to
tell me she put on a Velcro suit and did the wall.
Well, she might have. I don't know. Yeah, like one of those with genital piercings. That's going to be fun to put awesome. A harness on. Anyway.
Yeah. That's another story out, for another time, kids.
Torture your piercings. Till next time, here's hoping all your tattoos and piercings heal with ease and without a single issue. And if you're in the Des Moines, Iowa area, I hope to see if your body piercing and tattooing needs for these guys in the future. Have a good day.
See you guys. Be good.